Hey, everybody, I'm Eureka John, and you are at Eureka Street Crypto Podcast. Broadcasting from Leander, Texas, it is 7:40 in the evening. Yes, I did record this morning, too, but I was tired, cranky, and I just didn't really want to publish that one. Oh, man, I looked back at the video, and I was just looking haggard, and I was just not in a good mood. So anyway, I've had a good day, and coming back in a more positive mood, right? If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say it at all, right? That's not what your mama always taught you. It is a Saturday, and this is episode 499, one away from 500. I'm going to go ahead and open this drink here. This is some kind of orange beverage. Looks like, is that Arabic? I think so. I got it from like a local Arabic meat market in my neighborhood area. So here's what it's gonna taste like. Actually, it tastes like Orange Fanta. It's probably the same thing, just brand labeled for whatever culture it's put out in. But nice sugary drink, I guess. That's okay. I have like a kombucha next here to try it out, to kind of counteract that, right? So you drink something totally unhealthy, and you're all good if you just do something healthy back it up, right? Yeah, isn't that what they say? Anyway, like I said, I'm continuing back with this channel, and this is my message in a bottle, this is my brain dump, and this is my sandbox to try out new ideas and stuff in. So anyway, I'm not going to talk about price. And I stopped talking about price because I'm into Web3 for all the innovation, all the stuff on the edge, to constantly see what's out and what's coming out and what's new. And right now in technology, yes, there's AI, but there's AI in blockchain, there's AI and IoT in blockchain, and all that stuff is coming to like this singularity. And it's interesting when you think about like how fast everything's starting to move, because you have data just flowing out, right? We are all individuals and we all create data, and that makes each one of us really unique from just a machine's perspective. You know, every single person has something unique to contribute just by the different kind of data that each person collects, no matter how similar they are. Even if they're twins, every person and individual in this world creates different type of data, and that data is collected. And previously it was, you know, collected by alternate sources, but now that it's being collected by machines, by computers, and then now by AI, and it's getting faster and faster and faster. And when we have IoT devices or Internet of Things, those are sensors, and every single thing that we own and have and do, all our data is almost instantaneously becoming digital. And then the AI is able to process that data almost instantly. And the stronger AI gets, that's basically doing weird things with time when you think about it. So you have IoT collecting the data, AI processing the data being sent to the blockchain and being finalized and put in some kind of objective truth format. And all that is, and then the results are being returned to you. And it's just, it's doing weird things with time. And then, you know, we should be paid for that data. And I've said that in the past, you know. And so maybe that can create some kind of UBI, right? Universal Basic Income, in which we are paid for all the data that we create that feeds the AI super system, right? And so, yeah, I mean, as long as we're feeding the machine should feed us too, right? So we should be paid for our data. Maybe some kind of symbiotic relationship can happen there with the machines. I don't know. Anyway, I'm already going off on a tangent because that's just what I do. So let's go over here to this Twitter. I just got back this last week. Well, I didn't get back. Permissionless, the large conference on DeFi, mainly in the Ethereum ecosystem, but in other ecosystems as well, was just in Austin, and Leander is just a suburb of Austin, so it takes me about 20 minutes to drive downtown, and I was down there pretty much every day last week. A lot of people came in from all over the world, and I got to see people from the Bankless DAO, from Journo DAO, from Crypto Sapiens, and a lot of other places, and just people that I've met and known and done stuff with and collaborated with in the Web3 and crypto space online. So it's kind of cool to see everybody's faces, like their actual meat space faces in the meat space, to see the meat. Okay, wait. It's really cool to see the meat suits in the meat space instead of the digital PFP in the digital space. So yeah, it was really enjoyable. I'll reduce the size of my head here on the computer screen for those of you watching. And so you can see this picture here. This is all the Bankless HQ and Bankless DAO. Not all of them by any means, but look at that. Look at that showing, that turnout. I mean, that is a lot of people right there. And that was at a Bankless DAO HQ barbecue. There I am right there in the green shirt. But we got a lot of good people here. We have, Anthony Shepard, Zombie Shepard. We have, let's see, I mean, where's Drosten here? There's I Speak Nerd. There's Above Average Joe. There's Humpty. There's a lot of cool people here. Elemental's in there somewhere. And I met a lot of cool people too that I hadn't known before. So yeah, man. Or just people that I've seen around the DAO and never really known what they look like or anything. There's Ice Cool right there. He's one of those. So cool. Yeah. And then let's see here. As you can see, I have a Perchy over here on the other side of the screen. Not a Perchy. I have a Chippy. That is an NFT. Perchy's the artist who made it. And he was there. He's somewhere in that large photo as well. But we had the first annual ChippyCon, which is all the holders of the Chippies met up at Oddwood Brewery over on the east side and around the Manor Street area in Austin. And this is earlier in the evening. And like, look at how many people turned out. I mean, that's a lot of people there who hold the Chippy NFT. They had the costume contest. Man, it was fun. So, you know, I mean, I don't drink. I get to stand around and, you know, hang out and watch other people drink. But still, it was fun, you know. And what else do we have? We just have photos of other people's events. I totally doxed a lot of people, intentionally or not. And then not shown on here on my Twitter feed is the Farcaster event that I Speak Nerd hosted. And then here's Donnie Clutterbuck and Humpty from Crypto Sapiens. And Humpty had Rachel on the phone there. Rachel Rose is the host of the main flagship Crypto Sapiens episode now. So yeah, super stoked. There's Donnie's show, Don't Say NFT. So yeah, tune into some of the latest stuff going on Crypto Sapiens. Man, we got a lot of stuff. Yeah, so super stoked. Let me have another sip of my Orange Crush, the Arabic version here. Does anybody read Arabic and can tell me what that says? If you can see it on the YouTube. I know Arabic is written from right to left instead of left to right, like English. But yeah, that's so good. I'm going to be going back to that neighborhood store to get some more of that Orange Crush, Orange Fanta Arabic drink. Anyway, so let's see what else we have on our Twitter feed here. Yes, Anthony Shepard, Zombie Shepard in Discord, and 0xZFi, they put together a show covering Moloch Traps, The Prisoner's Dilemma, on his show From A to Z. And I guess that's from Anthony to ZFi. Hey, I just now got that. Uh-huh. Good work. Good work on that one. Good call. But yeah, anyway, Moloch to me is like a really cool topic because Moloch is technically, it's like a biblical figure, and Moloch represents like human coordination failure. And much of what we do in the Web3 and crypto space is try to figure out creative ways for human coordination and to do it in a decentralized manner, meaning nobody's in charge. It's not a top-down hierarchy, and there's no way to oppress anybody. And Moloch is everything, is the antithesis of that. So Moloch is basically the representation of humans fending for themselves. So they do the show on Moloch Traps in this episode, The Prisoner's Dilemma From A to Z. And The Prisoner's Dilemma, I guess it can be best summarized. Let's see here. I had an article up. Let's take a look here. Here's one. So Moloch is essentially a romanticized alias for a classic game theory problem, The Prisoner's Dilemma. In The Prisoner's Dilemma, two suspects are investigated for a crime. They are sentenced to 2 years in prison. If one of them assists the investigation by testifying against his accomplice, he will have his sentence reduced to 1 year, while the other will face 3 more years in jail. Of course, if his partner betrays him to the police, he'll also face 3 more years in jail. If both prisoners remain loyal to each other, they both serve only 2 years. But if only one of them stays loyal, the loyal one stands to lose while the other person stands to gain. So that's a situation where coordination leads to positive outcomes for everyone, and self-interested decision-making leads to negative outcome. And that occurs frequently in real life. Moloch represents people's self-interest, which dictates that everyone will make the decision that seems best for herself. But if everyone thinks in the same self-interested way and makes that same decision, everyone gets screwed in the end. If both prisoners think selfishly and try to reduce their sentence by testifying against the other, they both end up losing. Only through coordination can the prisoners agree to not betray each other and attain the best outcome for themselves. So it's kind of like the whole idea of turning your neighbor against each other, that the whole view that if you create dissension in a community, then nobody in the community can coordinate against their overlords or their oppressors. It's the whole idea of, like, say, for instance, Nazism, just doing my job, the people putting people in the gas chambers and stuff like that, I was just doing my job, to perpetuate a system of control or some kind of systemic abuse because nobody feels like they have any real power. Say, for instance, that you are in a crowd and someone yells fire. Then the whole crowd starts to move. And if anybody tries to stand still in that, they get run over. Or say, if you go up on top of a ladder in the middle of that crowd and you start to, and you tell everybody about that fire, well, that crowd will start moving and it will tear down the ladder and you'll get trampled on in it. So really, it's the whole idea that no individual has any control or power on their own. But if you can get everybody coordinated in some kind of way, in a decentralized way, then everybody wins together, right? And that defeats Moloch. So I guess that's the whole idea of Moloch. So anyway, it's kind of a long-winded way of just saying, go watch this episode. It's really cool. So anyway, they're doing good work. I love reading about this type of stuff. There's this called the Slate Star Codex. It's like a legendary essay in my book. I mean, in my opinion. And I've done a couple episodes on this, episodes 339 and episodes 346. If you want to go back, I read through a lot of parts of this and go deeper into Moloch. It's a really long paper. Look at this. I'm just keeping on scrolling, but it is so worth it. And it is, something good to break down and just take your time reading and really just like meditate and ponder on a lot of this stuff. And a lot of people's comments on this as well are really insightful. So yeah, definitely. I'll leave the link in the description. Definitely something to look at. So check it out. Anyway, let's move on forward here. One of the things that I checked out at the permissionless conference was the MetaMask booth. And in the MetaMask booth, they had like a little counter talking about MetaMask snaps, which is cool because I'd seen the word MetaMask snaps kind of thrown around and people talking about it, but I never really like knew what it was. And I just feel kind of like I've been a little bit out of touch on some innovation, because one thing previously when I was doing this every single day is I was researching new stuff every day. And I really wanted to get back into that because I'd, gotten more into just like podcast production and stuff. And which is cool because I get to learn stuff by editing podcasts, but it really makes a difference when I'm actually like hands-on, like researching this stuff myself for something to talk about on my show. So anyway, MetaMask snaps are essentially browser extensions, for lack of better words, like Google browser extensions. So like, check this out here. We have the Chrome store. Look at all these, you know, MetaMask extension, not MetaMask, like browser extensions you can get and get. And this is, no, this is just a web store. So look, let's look in here. All these extensions you can get to enhance your browser experience, right? So if you take that concept and you just like plop it onto the MetaMask wallet, you can enhance your wallet experience with the MetaMask wallet. So, you know, here's a little, you know, video. There's some music to it, but it's just we don't need to hear the music. But it's like a 40-second video. So introducing the MetaMask Snaps open beta. Snaps extend MetaMask functionality. So install a snap to gain insight into your transactions is one use case. Subscribe to notifications another, or connect to non-EVM blockchains like maybe Cosmos or Avalanche. Join the open beta for snaps. And all you have to do is just open up your MetaMask wallet, and there's like a little snap button there. And you can go to this like snap directory, just like the one I showed you for Google Chrome extensions. Look at all these different snaps you can add, right, to your MetaMask wallet to just do different stuff. And yeah, there's Shapeshift multi-chain, sign in with XMTP, there's EthSign keychain, Arweave wallet, so you can interact through Arweave with your MetaMask, with Arweave dApps, Leap Cosmos wallet, Solana wallet, like all different types of stuff. Starknet here, so deploy Starknet accounts, make transactions on Starknet, and interact with Starknet smart contracts. Identify extends the functionality of the most popular crypto wallet by adding decentralized identity, which is a big thing right now. A lot of people are working on decentralized identity solutions. So yeah, this is just the beginning, and all this stuff is kind of still in beta, but I can just see this ecosystem growing and the more people that learn about MetaMask. Up here is a Forta snap extension. So automatically scans the addresses in your pre-signed transaction against Forta's database of known scammers. Based on the result, the snap will display a high risk or low risk warning message to the user. After installing the snap, you will see it in the transaction confirmation window, which is cool, man, because I have been doing some work for another YouTuber, and he runs a auditing company called Cyphron Audits, Patrick Collins. And he did a hour long interview with one of the people from Forta, and Forta was a brand new concept to me at the time. During editing that, I mean, yeah, I kind of understood it, but somebody came in the MetaMask booth that works for Forta, and I wish I knew the person's name off the top of my head, but I don't. But he explained it, and I immediately got it in like a 15-minute presentation. So Forta is really cool because it's like a decentralized network of bot creators, right, for the blockchain. And so anybody, any company or individual, any type of developer, can create bots, and then people can go on the Forta network website and they can buy these bots and use them however they feel they need to use them. So here's one built by the Forta Foundation, the scam detector. So this one provides real-time intelligence on scammers, on EOAs, contracts, and URLs engaged in over 10 unique scam types, including ice fishing, rug pulls, and fraudulent NFT orders. Currently used by Web3 wallets, centralized exchange security tools, and AML compliance platforms, among others. So somebody could pay $900, $899 USDC, and they can buy that plan. All you have to do is connect your wallet there. And yeah, you can install that in whatever project you're using. So yeah, and that would immediately, you know, I mean, and so here's another one, spam detector, $49 USDC per month. You can buy that plan. And it detects spam tokens that are airdropped to users without their consent. And if you've ever had a MetaMask wallet and you see just like all these weird types of, you know, potentially scammy or spammy tokens being airdropped into your wallet, what they try to do is they try to get you to go claim some more or use those tokens for something or trade them for something. And it tries to direct you to their website. And in turn, they will get your addresses and may potentially suck out everything in your wallet if you give them more information or interact with them or whatever. So those tokens are a trap. I would say all cases. Like if you just see random weird tokens end up in your wallet, they're all pretty much spams or scams. So anyway, so yeah, some spam tokens are malicious, others are benign. This data feed can help wallets, marketplaces, AMMs, and others detect and filter out these unwanted tokens. You know, and sometimes you just like, because your blockchain, your wallet address is public. So if somebody knows your wallet address, and a lot of people have ENS domain names now attached to their wallet, somebody could go look in your wallet and see everything you have in that wallet. And if you have some like weird spam tokens or maybe some kind of like creepy or porn type of NFT that lands in your wallet, like, you know, maybe this could kind of detect it and eliminate it, you know? So I don't know. It's just something to think about. Like it's a cool service and it's a decentralized service and anybody can contribute to it and write these apps and these bots for it. And now MetaMask has it available for you to plug into the MetaMask wallet, the Forta extension. So pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. All right. Anyway, so let's move on to the last thing I kind of wanted to talk about today. I discovered this on Twitter. Re-see it. So in the Journo DAO, we've been talking a lot about like journalists and decentralized Web3 tools for journalism. And one of those things is Eric Mack in the Journo DAO was talking about how he has like a portfolio online of all the articles and stuff that he's written, because he's a journalist and he writes a lot of articles and a lot of stuff. He writes some really cool stuff. And a lot of his stuff is like about space and the cosmos. And he showed me his entire portfolio. But one of the caveats is he has a service that he uses to put all his stuff. So whenever he's like looking for jobs or whatever, he just sends them a link to his portfolio. Well, that portfolio service is a centralized service. And a lot of times, you know, those types of services, they may go out of business, or the links, they don't keep the links fresh or maintained. And it can just be kind of sloppy or error ridden. You know, and like I said, worst case scenario, they go out of business and you lose your entire portfolio of work. Or I've written articles in the past for like old publications from like 2004, and they're no longer on the internet. So I have no record of those articles to be able to show any potential employer or anybody, or even myself, just to go back and reflect on it. And there's a few of those articles like that. Well, what if that could be on the blockchain, right? And this is, we've been trying to think of tools that journalists might be able to use, because the journalism community, they're a little bit, I guess, let's say pessimistic or skeptical, I guess is a better word, about Web3, given all the NFT scams and a lot of the, you know, the rug pulls and, you know, there's a lot of scammy stuff that goes on in the crypto space. It kind of has this like derelict reputation that precedes it. And journalists are just a little extra skeptical about everything in general already. So what kind of tools could be useful to a journalist? And one is definitely a portfolio, a place on the blockchain to put their portfolio so they can access in a decentralized manner at all times for the rest of their entire career, right? So anyway, I found this bot on Twitter, and all you have to do is just type in a post or like a reply or a quote retweet or something, and just hit at re-see it. And this will put that tweet on the blockchain in a PDF format, I believe. So let's go to their website really quick. So preserve tweets forever. Re-see it permanently saves any tweet thread or Twitter conversation as a high resolution image, PDF, and permanent record, utilizing the Polygon blockchain and IPFS for distributed and durable storage. Re-see it also saves every video and image included in each tweet, providing an unchangeable record. So this is for Twitter. It's not necessarily for an entire journalist portfolio, but the concept is there. And I think it's a really cool concept. You know, so I could just basically, instead of like these bookmarks on Twitter that I've just been showing you here, here's some bookmarks, right, of just stuff that I find interesting on Twitter. Well, I could just tag it as re-see it, and then I could keep my entire bookmarks of stuff that I find fascinating on Twitter in a permanent record. And it'd be cool if I could do that as well with like any, you know, articles that I write. And then, you know, so that, I guess, yeah, so that saves on the Polygon network, which is kind of cool. So that being said, I also found something cool, possibly. I still need to look into this, so I'm not going to completely back this up yet. But Permacast uses the Arweave ecosystem for me to be able to put all my old podcasts up on and to create a permanent record of my podcasts, which is cool because for my audio podcasts, I use Podbean, which is a podcast distribution platform. And so far, it's been really cool. But what if Podbean goes out of business, right? And I do pay monthly to have all that stuff up there. And even if I do decide to shut down the podcast, I would still need to pay like $15 a month, I think, something like that, just to keep it archived on there. And then, of course, YouTube, you know, I mean, I have all these videos up on YouTube, but what if something happens with YouTube? Like, there's always some kind of centralized structure up there keeping it. With this, I believe, if I'm correct, I just basically need to pay the gas fees to get it up on there. And then it's on the blockchain for as long as that blockchain exists. So, yeah, I still need to look a little further into it, but I need to get an Arweave wallet to connect to it. However, there is a MetaMask snap in the directory for Arweave connection. So this brings us full circle. I just saw it. So let's see here. Arweave wallet right here. Access Arweave through MetaMask and interact with Arweave dApps. So if I were to add that snap to my MetaMask wallet, could I connect to this Arweave based website called permacast.app and then upload all my podcasts to this to live on the blockchain, which would be cool. And then I could save all my Twitter threads and all my bookmarks and maybe my own tweets and just tag Resee it in there. And all that would be on the Polygon blockchain. So look, already I'm just seeing lots of content creation and journalistic tools popping up for Web3 use cases. Right? Right? Okay. So anyway, yeah, I think that's a wrap for this episode. There's just a couple things I wanted to talk about. I'm trying to keep these under 30 minutes or under. And yeah, so I hope you all have a good day. It'll be Sunday probably by the time you see this or listen to this. Yeah, have a good rest of your weekend. And I will talk to you guys probably next week, I think. But if you have any comments or questions, hit me up on Twitter. It's EurekaJohn1. Or you can just leave a comment on YouTube or whatever. And you can always go to my website. What is it? EurekaStreet.xyz. And I do podcast production services. That's my company now. So hit me up if you need any work. I can create shorts or edit podcasts for you or whatever. I just got a brand new computer too. So yeah, stoked about that. All right. Talk to you later.